This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me as usual is Nick from the No Disrespect Podcast.
Oh, you got that wrong, Ken. You mean disrespectful podcast.
Yeah. How long are we going to keep that up?
I'm going to keep it up as long as this man here. Because I got some hot takes already for this episode. So, go ahead. Okay, call me right. Mr. No Disrespect.
That was FIFO and, of course, BZ430. All right, so basketball, man. How y'all want to do this, man?
Well, I saw a CBS Sports article that was breaking down every question for every team.
The headline: Dwight out with butt injury.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody made a joke of saying like, he literally has a pain in his ass, mm-hmm. and that's what he's been in for all his teams.
Oh, Lonzo playing Wednesday. Okay,
that's what's up. About time.
Wolves, yeah, I think Wolves the final.
You heard what LeBron said about Lonzo coming back?
No, what did he say?
He said he'll be great, phenomenal for our second unit.
That's cool.
He said second unit?
Second unit.
That's not, I mean, you can go either or.
You were the one that, when I said Rondo should start for the whole season, you was like, I don't know about that.
Well, he is coming off an injury, so.
Yeah, that's my personal opinion.
I think he meant that even if he was healthy.
Now, I think Lonzo is in a perfect position to try to outplay Rondo. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. both of those guys, like, how many teams have their starting point guard and their backup point guard basically the same guy?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. So, the reason why I bring that up, Lonzo could learn so much from Rondo in a short amount of time. And I think that at this point, Lonzo has way more upside. Because look at Lonzo's rookie year numbers and compare that to Rondo's every year numbers.
Right.
Is it basically the same thing? Lonzo has more upside right now. Lonzo, even with the funky shot, to me is a better shooter than what Rondo was coming at. Because at least Lonzo will want to
shoot
at Rondo didn't even want to. Look at anything in his first 4 or 5 years.
Like Rondo was like Ben Simmons.
I mean, Rondo couldn't shoot. Yeah, Rondo was all about setting people up.
Exactly. So Bron can make those comments, but I think that Lonzo this year can outplay himself from the bench to the starting lineup. I really think he could do that. And me personally, I would like to see him more with the starting lineup, mainly because that second unit is going to need a setup guy. You know what I'm saying? Somebody to kind of control the pace. Because you're playing with LeBron, I think it diminishes Rondo just a little bit. Rondo can still be Rondo because I've seen it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I just think that Rondo would be more beneficial to that second squad.
I agree with you word for word if you just switch Rondo with Lonzo for that example. Because for me, coming off an injury, being with LeBron, with LeBron being on
but
your
I
team.
Think, I think FIFA meant like once – Lonzo
no,
was like
once he, no, yeah, but yeah. I'm saying like even when he's healthy, I think with the pressure that
so you think Lonzo still come off the bench once he's healthy.
Let it ride for this season. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Let him mature.
Let him learn.
Let him learn and mature with the offense as it is with the second unit because nobody's going. He'll be the focal point of that second unit. He'll be able to do whatever he wants to do.
But
he has to show that he's a scorer.
But not necessarily.
Not his game.
He has to.
No, he doesn't.
As the number two pick,
that's
what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
So then, what are we drafting him for?
That wasn't Jason Kidd's pick. That wasn't Jason Kidd's role.
But Jason Kidd had a better shooting form and learned how to shoot than Lonzo.
No, he didn't. They called him.
Oh, Aeson?
Yeah, because
but I'm saying, but a shooting form. What does that matter?
He was still pricking.
Does it go in or not?
What do you mean? What does it matter? The guy that you're caping for this season, who you think is going to be the most improved player of the year, Fultz. The whole point of your the reason why you think he's going to be that is because he changed his jump shot and he's going to shoot or score 18 points a game.
Jason Kidd was the second pick in the NBA draft. They're damn near ideal. He couldn't shoot a damn.
Right, he couldn't shoot
I'm
a
just
damn.
Saying.
Magic couldn't shoot.
Right.
I'm just saying. Gary Payton couldn't shoot. Right. You want me to keep going with all of the point guards that couldn't shoot but made their mark uniquely?
Right.
Because as a point guard, this is the reason why I love playing point guard. You can be the most unique player on the court. It doesn't matter if I score. It doesn't matter if I'm a setup guy. It doesn't matter what I do. As long as I do it well, I'm going to get the PT.
If he starts, is he the most unique player on his team?
Let me read you Jason Kidd's field goal percentage. Rookie year. Starting with the rookie year, 38%. 38%. Yes, field goal percentage, 38%, 40%, 36%, 42%, 41%, Like, it didn't improve. Shit, did it ever improve?
Yeah, because he didn't start getting ejected way later.
Was that the was that when he was still with the Nets? That later?
Kind of like Phoenix.
Dallas. I know definitely Dallas.
Then went to Phoenix,
I know definitely Dallas in New York, he was a lot better.
He was hitting threes then, but at that point, he was.
All I'm saying is, your point was.
And Lonzo was close to 50% rookie year.
Yeah, a lot of layups, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, though. But it don't matter, though.
No. I feel you. But the point is that the shooting is.
We're in an era. We're in the greatest point guard era of the NBA, right?
1,000%.
So what is the main thing that you could say about these point guards? That some of them aren't really point guards. They're really, you know, two guards, you know, just playing the point.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, as the number two pick, I'm saying that because they put that's a lot of draft capital on a player, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him to be Rondo. You want him to be better. You want him to be better than Rondo.
But the reason why I know you use Markelle Fultz as your example, but what did Markelle Fultz did in Washington? Score. He got buckets. So you can't use that example of someone a pass first point
and
guard.
And Rondo's
off-rip.
A champion, and he contributed to that championship
team. I love Rondo.
Jason Kidd was the second round pick and is a champion.
Yeah. Second pick.
I love Rondo.
Second pick.
But I love Rondo, but he isn't. You don't draft a player to become Rondo. You want him to be better. You want him to learn the intangibles of what Rondo brings.
Okay, what if you
draft
him to be Jason Kidd?
Right.
If you draft him to be Jason.
They pretty much saying he was his rookie year. Like, he's
that's
more athletic.
Said.
Yeah.
That's his comp.
Yeah.
Yes, but with the way he plays now, do you think he will be Jason Kidd?
Yes.
I don't think he can rebound. He can pass the ball. Damn good.
But he does. But what you want him to do is you want him to be competitive with these point guards. You want him to be one of those top five, right?
Yeah, but he
won't be in that conversation
saying,
if he can't score like consistently.
He can still dominate. He can still dominate. As a point guard, you can still dominate the game.
Yeah, because you're alluding to that. I have to fight fire with fire. And as a point guard, no. You can have all of the fire you want. If I'm coming with ice, if I'm coming with wind, I could deflect a lot of that stuff. Just because Steph Curry might hang on 50 on me doesn't mean that I played a bad game.
That's what separates the good point guards from the great, is to still dominate without having to score.
Exactly.
That's what makes Jason Kidd so great.
Exactly.
Average 14 points for his career. I'm not going with the 12 because a lot of that's affected by when, you know, he got older.
Yeah.
But for the most part, his true average was 14 points his career.
And
he was one of the greatest point guards ever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was a different league at that time, too.
But hold on. Jason Kidd is a multi-generational player. It doesn't matter when he played. 60s, right. The 2040s, it don't matter. Kidd could play the game of basketball.
I understand that. But Jason Kidd, and if you look at those stats right now, Jason Kidd is not a top five point guard with those stats.
You are shitting me.
Top five whatever?
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about in this league right now.
Yes, he would be.
I don't think so.
He'd be top three.
Are you talking about just off numbers?
What
about the eye test?
He's good.
He's top five.
And just like the eye test with Lonzo, like, you could see it in him. But I'm saying, as the number two pick
Lonzo
in this
rookie
era,
year, I'm not gonna say he's top five as rookie year.
No, I'm just saying. But in this era, you expect more holistically. You want to see the points, the rebounds, and the assists.
But guess what? J.K. also did. Lock motherfuckers up.
But Lonzo ain't no defender either, though.
But I'm just saying,
you're going off that percentage stuff. No, I'm talking about when you look at when he plays competition.
I'm talking about the eye test.
I'm the biggest critic of Lonzo Noball, what I used to call him. But even you talking crazier than I've ever talked.
I'm saying you want him to be.
He plays
better.
Defense, bro.
He doesn't play lockdown defense.
But that does. See, I feel that a lot of what you're saying is just pure hyperbole, because you don't have to be a lockdown defender to be considered a great defender. AI was not a lockdown defender, but he averaged the most. Exactly. He averaged the most steals. Yep. So you don't have to be able to be Dennis Rodman or Klay Thompson or Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen. You can be a great defender in your own right.
But you're not putting Lonzo on Steph Curry. Not by design.
Yes, you can.
Because Curry is going to cook him every way.
But Curry cook everybody.
Exactly. My point is
his length would
he doesn't make a difference. He doesn't make a difference when it comes to competition as of right now. My whole point is with that draft stock, you want to make sure that he is the best, one of the greatest Lakers of all time, right? Because he's the number two pick.
And would you say that?
And because he came in with so much hype.
So he's not in that trajectory?
I'm saying, if he, as long as he, it's a slow build. He has to learn first.
Saying that right now, because at least how I'm interpreting it, and I feel that the people listening to this are going to interpret it that way, you're saying he was the second pick and he needs to be producing at even a better clip than what he is. And I know I've been on the record of saying that it takes 3 to 5 years for young players to fully develop or for you to actually see. And it sounded like Nick wants him to be that right now.
I'm saying the reason why I would bench him and start Rondo is because he still needs to learn a lot based off what I saw his rookie year.
So let me pause you right there. Do you think that he's going to learn more with the second unit or playing alongside of LeBron more?
I think he's going to learn from LeBron regardless because he's in the building.
But the way you learn from somebody is by playing with them. You can watch and learn a lot. I'm not discrediting that. I think that's huge. However, as a point guard, right? You have to play with the guys to know what their tendencies are, how they like the ball. Me and you, right? We have a lot of chemistry where I can just give you a little slight look. I can give you 3 different looks, and you know exactly what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. If me and you didn't play as much basketball as we play, can we do that?
No.
Lonzo needs to establish that chemistry with LeBron. And I think the reason why, for me, the point of moving Rondo to the bench is because that bench squad needs a leader. When you look at that bench squad and you're looking at possibly Josh Hart, you're looking at Stevenson, you're looking at McGee, you're looking at Beasley, you're looking at all of these journeyman guys that have never really stuck anywhere. They need a guy to lead them to accomplish what Luke wants them to do. And you're telling me that that's going to be Lonzo right now today?
No, what I'm saying is look, you have LeBron in the building, right? LeBron, we all know LeBron. It's LeBron's way or the highway, ever since he's been on any team.
It won't be in LA.
Right now, him and Rondo, Magic's job depends on LeBron a lot. Like moving forward, Magic couldn't be Magic.
Nah, Magic's good.
If Magic didn't get LeBron, he would be calling for his job next. If he didn't get any free agents next year,
he called for his own job.
Yeah.
Because he knows he had to get somebody, and he already had LeBron in the pocket.
He just knows he didn't do the job, so he was going to leave.
Okay, because the media is going to come at him. My thing is LeBron and Rondo have a really great. If you've been looking at their interviews, they've been talking really highly about each other. He has not mentioned Lonzo outside of the fact of I like the kid. I want him to be there. Who has he been talking a lot on social media about? Because that's all we have to go about. He's been talking about Ingram. You've seen him with Kuzma, and you even seen him with Hart.
Because they're in the building.
Exactly. Lonzo hasn't been there. Lonzo hasn't been there. Also, when you look at the dynamic between LeBron and Rondo, right? Like, let's not forget that in a playoff game, Rondo had a 40-point triple-double against LeBron's Heat. Let's not forget
Game 7.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they have a lot of professional respect for one another and how they view the game, their IQ, their feel for the game, right? And when I've seen both of those guys play, I feel that the type of chemistry that they have is otherworldly. And if you look at the Lakers now, they're making too many extra passes, right? And I think that that's a problem with Rondo and LeBron. Now, will they calm that down a little bit? And will LeBron take more of a scoring role? Of course, because I think LeBron is going to realize as the season plays out, bro, this guy, all he does is pass. They need me to score. And he's going to pass and score. However, at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that I believe that Rondo will be better served to lead the second unit. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying that Lonzo should be in the game to close games, because I think in this NBA, it's more about who closes versus who starts. And I think Rondo is probably going to close more games than Zoe. However, I think that that second unit throughout the course of the game need Rondo's leadership to do what they need to do, because there's nobody else outside of LeBron that can do that. With that second,
and his experience would get a lot of those younger guys easier shots too.
And my thing is, LeBron has always shown that he does not like younger players. He always likes vets. So that's another reason why I think Rondo will be starting for the season. And on top of that, with Lonzo coming off an injury, it's a slow burn with this season. It's all about developing and making sure we're good for next season, because that's another free agent class that we're
and
trying
they
to
got
get
money.
And
they're
they gonna
money
have
to
money
get, gonna have
and
money
everything and all them players that they got now, half of them probably gonna be off the squad by then anyway. So my thing is, let Lonzo come ease in, because I honestly think, like you said, with Lonzo starting, he's just one of those players you was talking about that's gonna pass the ball. He ain't really gonna take he's not the aggressive player on that team. He's not one of them. And I think what Lonzo can be, he has a lot of potential. I think he can be better than Rondo. He can be up there with Kidd. He might even be able to surpass Kidd if he really hones in on his skills. Yeah, but right now, you really have to take your time with him, because it's looking real scary as far as if he doesn't develop right, he could be a bust.
You find that breakdown?
Yeah. You want to go through all the teams?
Well, how did they do it?
Well, the first question for the Atlanta Hawks was the alphabetical order, so they start with the Hawks. How do they what do they have with Trae Young?
I think they have the potential. I'm not saying he is, but the potential second coming to Steph Curry. Games are extremely similar builds, similar game set, skill set. I think the difference for me, especially when I looked at both of them as young players, Trae Young has more of a feel of a point guard. I think he has a better passing IQ than Steph did early on. I think Steph developed that where it's more natural for Trae Young. However, because Trae Young has a mold, he tries to be Steph too much right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can get there. It's just that he's trying to be him now. And I think that's when you see the bad shots, because he could hit, you know, I think he has Steph Curry range, but sometimes when he takes them in the game, he hitting them a backboard, he hitting like bad shots.
Air balls.
You ain't hitting bottom of net yet,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. And I just think that he has to get to that point, and he's just trying to expedite the process too quick. However, I think that he's one of those guys you just got to let go and let him play his game.
My fear isn't really about him. It's about what the Hawks did to get him, and they traded away that guy from the Mavericks who's been looking really good. And if Trey doesn't live up to that same, if he doesn't like greater than or equal to with that kid, it's gonna look real shot.
Did you
see
what Bill Simmons said?
Mm-mm.
He said that this is the worst move ever in the history of basketball,
right,
in terms
sure
of trading
down.
He's always a hype artist.
He is. But, and remember, I said I like it, and I still stand behind it. I know that the Dallas pick isn't going to be high, right? Because I think the way Dallas is constructed and the way they look, I think they're going to make the playoffs. However, what have I been saying for like at least the last 2 years about this draft? You get you top 12, top 14 draft pick, but you drafting a potential all-star. So to me, even though it's not going to be a high draft pick, you know, it still has the potential to be a high draft pick. However, even though I don't think it's going to be, the fact that they have multiple draft picks in this draft that are going to be in the lottery or should be in the lottery, I think they still won the thing. And I also think that Trae Young, if he works on his game as well, 'cause I follow him on IG. I'm a Trae Young believer. I am definitely a Trae Young believer, and I know this kid works hard. If he continues to do that, I think the sky's the limit for him.
I think he fits Atlanta, you know. He's exciting, and you know it's a black city, and you know we will embrace him. He got to do his part. But
you going to the games?
Yeah, I'm definitely going.
Yeah,
I want season tickets.
He's going to definitely put some seats, some butts in them seats.
I'll go to see him play the Knicks.
I was just happy to see he can play, because there were stretches in summer league. He looks a lot
better than he did in summer league.
Now I think he's going to be all right.
I think because of that, I think what's the one of the GMs or somebody who was over at Golden State, they kind of like constructing this same type of team. Mm-hmm. It seems like starting with him, with Trae Young, and I think they're going to try to go after like another tall, you know, shooting guard, another, you know.
Get like a Klay Thompson and a Draymond Green.
I can't remember. I think they kind of, what's that?
It was a 6'8", you know, forgive me, white boy.
I know.
That can shoot, and it has potential to play D because of his wingspan.
Of
that.
Kevin
Porter, Hooter. They drafted him last year?
No, this year with Trae. He was a later first round pick.
Yeah. Kevin, he was from Maryland.
Yes, I know.
I can't say his name either.
Yeah.
But between him, they got Taurean Prince, John Collins.
Yeah.
Like
I
see what they're doing, and I think Trae Young is kind of like he's gonna be that main cast member. And I think that the second main cast member they're going to get in this draft. Yeah, and I have it, my fingers crossed it is Zion.
Okay.
Yeah. If they get that means you a problem.
You want them to really start losing games.
Oh, no. Hey, they're going to be a top three worst team in the NBA. Okay. It's as simple as that. I know what it is.
Hawks going to be like a 25,
Yeah. Last year they surprised me. I didn't know they were going to be that bad. I knew they were going to be bad, but not that bad. So they surprised me. But this year, I know what to expect. They're going to be horrible, and I want them to because they need a high draft pick.
Yeah.
Second question, Celtics. What is Brad Stevens' best finishing lineup?
His starting lineup. Kyrie, Jason, Jalen, Gordon, and Al Horford.
Leave Smart on the bench?
Yeah.
Smart? He's a playmaker. He's like that Rondo type of player where you don't really know what to say. He does
knuckleheaded plays.
He makes a lot of knuckleheaded
plays. But he also helps them out a lot
defensively.
And that's why he makes knuckleheaded plays because sometimes it gets.
He just needs to not shoot. That's what he just needs not to do.
He can't help himself.
Yeah. Yep. And in that offense, everybody's going to get shots. But I think their best closing lineup is their starting lineup because it gives them the most versatility. When you have Jalen, Jason, and Gordon, you're switching 2 through 5. You're literally switching everything because even Kyrie got to switch right at that point because Al Horford could guard 2 through 5.
How many games y'all think Kyrie and Gordon Hayward were going to play this year?
Kyrie got to play 70-plus, and he got to be healthy for the playoffs.
I think
he'll get 65.
I was going to say 60 to 65. I don't think you really need him to, especially with this team, but you'll be asking him a lot to play 70-plus.
I just think that, for me, the greatest players got to start playing the majority of the seasons. And since Kyrie's been in the league, he hasn't. And I don't know, maybe that's just an old school standard that I hold some of the greatest. Because to me, Kyrie, one of the greatest I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, but
one of the greatest handles I've ever seen.
The greatest.
I think it's better than AI's. Yeah.
Well, it is. But here's the thing, though. And I've had this conversation a lot. There's a difference between handles and a crossover. A crossover is a single move, just like the fadeaway or the sky hook. Handles is something that I feel is more natural. And you can tell
that Kyrie has that.
He has it on a yo-yo. Yes. I think he has a string on that ball.
Ivo didn't have that thing on a yo-yo.
No, not like that.
No.
And there's a difference between guys that have worked on their handles versus guys that have natural handle.
Right.
Steph Curry has worked on his handles. Yeah. And his handles are impeccable.
He wasn't like that in Davidson.
No.
He didn't have handles like that in Davidson.
But Kyrie, that was God-given.
Baron Davis, God-given.
Jamal Crawford.
God-given. People sleep on his hand. If you look at any of his highlights, going back from the Knicks moving forward.
Yeah. How Jamal Crawford still look like he's 20 years old?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
He look like he's 40 in the face, but he got like a 20-year-old body.
Yeah, Rod Strickland, God-given. Hands.
Yes.
Like,
ooh,
man,
underrated.
Come on. Like,
those are God-given handles.
Isaiah Thomas, Zeke.
Crossovers? AI, God-given crossover. Kobe, I think Kobe's the biggest chameleon. He, like, if you could do something, he's going to add it to his game.
Tim Hardaway.
Great crossover. It had great handles, but what made him who he was the crossover. And there's a big distinction between crossover and handles.
I will say this. Last year, Boston's most successful fourth-quarter lineup was Rozier, Smart, Tatum, Morris, and Horford. Mm-hmm. Granted, Kyrie and Hayward is hurt, but
right.
That says something. Okay, the Nets. Is D'Angelo Russell a future building block?
Mm-mm.
No.
But I must say yes because that question is loaded because it doesn't mean that is he the best building block, but can he be part of a core?
So
he's only 22.
So your point guard's situation is solved.
Yes.
So now you fill out the rest of the roster.
So what I'm saying is he can be – I personally, and it's a maturity thing with him more than a skill thing because he's skillful.
He was a little bit more mature last year.
Yes, and you saw his play elevate. His play was better. Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have been seeing preseason. It seems like his play is still getting better. I think that he can be the second or third best team on a second or third best option on a championship team. And because of that, then yes, the answer to that question is yes. I just don't think that he is the guy and you're building specifically around him.
Right.
But if you get another guy that's better than him, he can add to that.
And I like Jared Allen, so I think you got your one of your five. I think, I don't know, maybe I'll switch. I think he could be.
Yeah, I think he's a building block.
He can play the game.
Yes. But he's not the building block.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, no. Just don't have your
the way the Lakers drafted him to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, just don't have your phone out around him. with the Hornets, can they flip the fourth quarter script? And they mentioned that question because yes, they only won 36 games, but they lost 12 games by 5 points or less. So that's actually a big difference in the East.
No, they're not going to do it. I think that the way we see the Hornets built right now is not what we're going to see. Tony, you got Jeremy Lamb. You got who's their wing guy? They got a wing guy. Batum. I feel that
Batum was hurt last year.
Yeah, and I know he's back. And I think overall they're a better squad, but they're in a situation where now they're paying Frank Kaminsky, right? I think they re-upped him. You know, they're paying Kemba. They're paying a lot of guys.
They were trying to trade Kemba.
I'm getting there. At this point, you got to trade Kemba. And the reason why, and it's not that he's not valuable. Obviously, he's clearly their best player. But the Hornets have to rebuild again. And the problem with the Hornets is the fact that they haven't been able to get other guys around Kemba when everybody was cheap. Now you're paying mediocre guys high, you know, main guy salary. What's that going to do? That's going to keep you like the Hawks of yesteryear with Josh Smith and the Joe Johnsons of the world, where you're going to be stuck in purgatory.
Yep.
And you have to kind of cleanse yourself of those contracts because those guys can help championship squads. Kemba can go to, you know, not many teams need a point guard like that, but like Phoenix. Phoenix needs a lead guard. He goes to Phoenix, we talk about, you know, potentially making the playoffs
Phoenix
this year.
Phoenix is a sleeper.
They have a lot of pieces. But guess what they don't have? They don't have that high-paid guy. Kemba will go. All of their best players are on rookie deals. And Phoenix is the type of place that you need Kemba's salary to go to and propel that team.
Yes.
Right? Because you got two guys offensively, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if y'all seen him.
I just saw him today. Yeah. I was like, hey, this kid.
Yeah, and then you got Josh Jackson. That's that tweener guy, right? That's a perfect situation for Kemba. That's what the Hornets needed to draft or try to get while you had him cheap. Now you just got to move on from him.
Yeah, because you got Batum, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, Jeremy Lamb. We already mentioned Walker. Then you got Dwayne Bacon. We don't know what he's going to be.
Hold on. Let me pause you right there. I don't know if you can see salaries, but everybody on that, everybody you listed minus Dwayne Bacon, I guarantee you making $10 million plus.
Yep. Miles Bridges, Kid Gilchrist.
Devontae they need to move Graham, on from him.
That was a bust.
So I think they'll be middle of the road. They'll win games, but they won't be viewed as a contender fighting for a spot.
They got to blow that
or
up.
Or lottery.
All right. For the Bulls, can Jabari Parker make a Victor Oladipo leap?
Remember, last
week I was like, he's their X factor.
He's
so I was
back
surprised.
In his hometown, too, so yep. He's going to have that hometown motivation.
Before we answer that question, have y'all seen Zach LaVine?
Yes.
I haven't seen him.
That dude right there.
Look like a beast.
Man.
He's looking like Thibodeau didn't know what he had.
Man.
He
never do.
But in terms of Jabari, my only Kenan B can definitely attest to this. I said that he was going to be better than Wiggins. I said that I felt as a rookie coming into the league, he was going to be a top five small forward. So, you know, I'm very high on Jabari. The only thing with him, two torn ACLs in the same knee, bro. I've never seen that.
He's got
that.
Them Kyrie knees.
I've never seen that. I don't know how somebody gets over that. I think he's immensely talented. I still think he obviously has a ceiling to get better. I just, you know, obviously last year he came back and he was, you know, decent.
Yeah.
I think this is late in the year. Yeah. This is the year that it's not necessarily show and prove for me, but I just want to see him healthy a whole season. And then next year is when I can truly answer that.
I think he can. And I think we'll find out that the Bucks and his injuries was holding
That's what I'm saying. I think he has a chip on his shoulder, even though he hasn't really talked bad about the Bucks organization. I still think he
Giannis took his spot.
Well, I don't know about that. I think the fact that Chris Middleton stepped up, I think that was gave him another reason to let him go. But I feel like he feels like he left a lot on the table at, like, in Milwaukee, and I think he wants to prove that he, you know, he's a lot better than the, you know, what the injuries or the word is on him right now. So that's added bonuses on top of that, you playing in your, the city you grew up in.
Yeah, but I think sometimes injuries lower your ceiling, right? And that's what I need to see. I when I watch him play, because I really haven't seen him much in preseason. I've seen a couple of plays.
He's been
okay.
He hasn't been great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I need to see him throughout the course of the season to really understand how low that ceiling has been lowered, or if the ceiling is still where it was coming into the league. And that's the question I don't know, and I have to watch him. That's why I can't answer it right now.
Well, he got to 20 points last year, 20.6 rebounds, but nothing spectacular. 25 games his rookie year, 72 his second year, his sophomore year, and 50 last year.
So he got to be, I think he's in that same Kyrie. He got to be like, well, actually, he might be worse. He might actually have to play 70 games to be so, like, to show.
He got
to
stay healthy.
Yeah. The Cavs, is Kevin Love still an all-star number one option?
Yes.
Yeah.
I say hell no.
Yeah. He's back. He'll be back.
I mean, on this team, yes, he's the number one option on this team.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I'm not saying he's going to be the 26 and 13 guy again, but he's going to be 24
I think
and 10.
That question makes me think that whoever wrote it was thinking, like, is he going to be like Minnesota Kevin Love?
I don't think so.
But he's still going to be the number one guy.
I think that question was LeBron is gone, Kyrie is gone, he's the number one option now. Can he return back to form?
And I think, you know, even going deeper, can he be the catalyst why Cleveland makes it to the playoffs? And I think yes.
I think so too.
I think that you still have enough. Yeah, and of course.
Yeah.
I think the point guard would actually play a bigger factor than Kevin Love. Yes.
I'm high
on him.
No, I am too. But I don't think that, and it's so funny because I was just having this conversation the other day. It's hard for a rookie to have playoff impact if they're not a point guard. Because as a point guard, you just have natural responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Where other positions, as a rookie, you don't have those responsibilities, right? Like Jason Tatum, leading scorer, but was he the true reason or catalyst why they were as good as they were? No, he just added to it. Mm-hmm. But he was their leading scorer. With Colin, I think he can be their identity. I think he can be their motor, but I don't think he's the reason why they make it to the playoffs. I think it's going to heavily be relied upon Tristan. I don't know if y'all seen him in the offseason, but I've been telling everybody, the man got a mid-range face-up game now. Seen him. Look. Hey, man, look, all I do is report what my eyes tell me. And like I said, I'm typically more right than wrong.
I got cancer. You got Thompson.
He was the number four pick in the draft.
We know the Cavs have been really hit and miss with their draft picks. They picked Anthony Bennett, so I don't care what
I think that K Love is going to get close to what we saw in Minnesota, and I think that all of the time that he played with LeBron, that stuff rubs off, man. Like, look at Kyrie. Kyrie looks like a different leader. You know what I'm saying? And I think Kyrie was closer to having those leadership intangibles than Kevin was. Mm-hmm. But that stuff rubs off, man. And I think that Kevin understands what it takes, obviously.
The winning culture. Yeah, the winning
culture. You know what I'm saying? And I think now, since he's tasted the playoffs, he can make the playoffs. And I think he could be the main reason why.
Yeah, Tristan has the attitude, as always, mm-hmm. set the table. Mm-hmm. You still got to beat us. Kevin Love's the number one guy. They still got Nance. They still got Jordan Clarkson, who mm-hmm. still has talent.
All right, come on.
They still got Jordan Rodney Hood.
Again, you're naming Neanderthals at that.
I'm just saying they got
but they got talent. They got more talent than Minnesota did when Kevin Love was there.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much.
And Colin Sexton. No, but that Minnesota team.
Even with Kevin Love doing Moses Malone numbers,
it was all Rubio and K Love, bro.
Rubio, K Love, and
they were still booty. They
Shabazz
were still
Muhammad, the Polish Hammer. What was his name? Pekovic.
Oh.
He didn't have no wing talent. And not saying that the wing talent in Cleveland is immense, but the LeBron
pressure is removed, so you can play a little bit more free flowing.
Yep.
All right, with the Mavericks, is Luka, I can't pronounce
yes,
it.
Yes, Doncic.
Yeah, Doncic. Is he really as good as the hype?
Yes.
I've been looking at these highlights. Hey, this.
He's solid. He's solid, man.
Yeah, he can play.
Yeah, he can.
One thing I look for, especially in young wing perimeter, ball handling, playmaking type of players, is their feel for the game. the Mansfield is impeccable. And it doesn't, like, you know, sometimes you'll see
rookies.
Wasn't
he like an MVP? And
yes.
And
that was
like, and he was like 19.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah,
he was like 19.
Playing
18,
with grown man.
Grown
man.
In the EuroLeague, too.
Yes, in the second best league, in the ABC league in Spain. Because we saw one of the MVPs come over in Mirotic, right? But he was older, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now we have another MVP that's younger and was better than Mirotic. Yes, he could play in the NBA first and foremost. But that feel for the game. Oftentimes you'll see a player, even if they played overseas in professional leagues, they get sped up.
Right.
And then they figure, just like Trae Young, right? In summer league, we saw Trae Young was sped up. He didn't have a feel, you know, but you saw the passes. You knew that he understood the game. And then now in preseason, he's playing better. But with Doncic, from the moment he touched the floor, it's like, yeah, I belong.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's a problem for everybody else when a guy that has never played in this league and you look at him and be like, oh, it looked like he done played a couple years already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, man, I hope the Hawks didn't.
That's what I told you. Like, it ain't about how good Trae Young is. It's about how good he is.
Nah, because here's the thing. Even if Luka is better than Trae, right? Is he exponentially better than Trae? That's the thing, right? Because
they're gonna hype it regardless. If he's better, then they're gonna say, oh, you should.
I think
of course,
be
that's
comparable.
The media, of course. But we look at it objectively, right? Like, can we say that KD is better than Steph? He is 7 feet, does everything KD can. I mean, Steph can do plus more.
And he plays defense.
And he plays defense. You know what I'm saying? So you can't always compare apples to apples, but how good is Trae Young?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is Trae Young a six man or is he an all-star starter? That's a difference.
Yeah.
Well, this next one about the Nuggets is kind of weird, but how do y'all feel about the Nuggets this season?
Fighting
for the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Again. I can see them.
Well, because they were number six in offense throughout the whole NBA. They scored almost 110.
They're going to be the same Nuggets that they were.
With George Karl.
Yeah. A lot of pieces. A lot of guys that can score. Versatile. And centered around
Jokic.
Yeah.
See, the problem with Denver.
But no real.
They don't
real
have a super.
Star.
They haven't had a superstar since Melo.
I think, and y'all can flame me if y'all want, but I think Jokic is a superstar.
We were talking last week. He's Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah, he is more athletic, a little bit more athletic. Arvydas, because Arvydas was ridiculous. I just think that when you have a squad that has so many pieces, you need another main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. Because after that New York trade, Denver has always just been, you know, run through 10, 11, super solid.
Yeah.
But that doesn't win championships. That just gets you to the playoffs in a first or maybe second round exit. So to me, I think that they should explore a splashy move like trying to get AD there. You know what I'm saying? Because if you have Jokic and AD, and then you can coerce, you know, another free agent, point guard or shooting guard or wing player to come there, that's a problem.
I don't know if AD is the one.
I'm not saying AD in particular,
but someone of his caliber.
Somebody like that.
Okay.
Somebody that is potentially on the market that may not be happy in their current situation. Obviously, they have more than enough pieces to make it financially work and to entice the Pelicans. Because if you throw out Jamal Murray, you know, a couple of other these guys that you have on the squad, you can make a move like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Denver Nuggets, they're a blog NBA team. Like, they love guys
like
the Denver Nuggets, you know, analytics and all this other stuff.
They play fast, they make the right, you know, take the right shot. But come on, man, that's not going to win, you know, championship. Nah.
All right, B, this one direct. I'm going to ask you this directly. To what extent will Blake Griffin earn his money?
Ooh, to what extent? I don't care about Blake. I mean, at least he seemed like he's happy in Detroit right now with that organization, unlike the Clippers. But I don't know. I mean, he's gonna have to play. If he can play about 75 plus games and playoffs, if we make it, I think he earned his money.
I think y'all have to make the playoffs with him.
Yeah. Because this is our first full season.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, we had him through an off-season training under the new
when
coach.
When he first
and
got
stuff.
There, y'all, what was it? Y'all had
five, six-game winning streak or whatever. But so, and it seemed like Andre Drummond is happy because he got, like, a road dog, someone that can fight with him down low, you know, down the paint. So, we'll see. He seems happy. Like, he just seems like he's in a good place. if he balls out this year and under Dwayne Casey, a new coach that he's been working with in the offseason.
And their games complement each other, which you know, alludes to why they're kind of happy. Because DeAndre and Blake complemented each other. Mm-hmm. And Andre Drummond is cut in the same elk as
DeAndre Jordan.
Yes, Andre Drummond is cut the same way DeAndre Jordan is. You know, we're talking high flying, above the rim, rebounder, shot blocker, defensive anchor type center. So that's complimentary. I think the thing for Blake to be able to earn his money is he got to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you are considered top five to top seven in your position. You know what I'm saying? You are clearly the best overall player on that team. Mm-hmm. You got to make the playoffs.
Minimum. So like if for him to earn his money, if we seed higher than our expectations, so like I'm looking 6, 7, 8. If we seed 4, 5, or 6, then
would it be too much to expect expectation level to be second round?
Yes,
that's too much.
Yeah, because I put it to you like this. I think Detroit is going to make
without LeBron.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Detroit is actually going to make some moves mid season because because
we got Stanley Johnson on the leash. If yes. he ain't, if he's not,
Stanley's gone. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson. Yeah. I think he's gone.
Didn't you say they were going to blow up that team?
I think so.
I would love to get Reggie Jackson for Kemba. I remember that was in talks.
Yes.
That we was looking to get Kemba.
See,
I would love
Mike was
going
to do that.
That's another.
I would love to get Kemba,
but you know why? We got to look at this. Ken, you got the Mac. Can you look up salaries? Can we see
go to ESPN? They usually or NBA.com. They usually have the salaries with the teams.
Can you tell me how many years Reggie Jackson still has left? Because I tell you this, if he's an expiring contract, Kemba might be coming to Detroit.
I don't know why anybody would want Reggie. I mean, after that whole
expiring
debacle.
Contracts.
Oh, okay.
Expiring contracts.
Right.
Because what does that do for the Hornets? It allows you
freeze
to rebuild.
Yeah,
quicker.
Freeze up that money. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially if you could get a first round pick from Detroit as well in that trade scenario.
But have to
one
see.
More year.
Reggie?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
17 this year and 18 next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Unrestricted free agent in 2020.
Yep.
I don't know if Pistons want to give up another first round draft pick 2 years in a row. But
here's the thing, though. When your big three is Kemba, Blake, and Andre Drummond, that should be good enough.
That should be easily second round.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That should get you to the second round.
Saying,
and obviously, you can get you the Trevor Ariza's of the world. Yeah. Because I think KCP is going to be the odd man out with the Lakers.
Next year. Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you could probably bring him back. You know what I'm saying? I just think that adding Kemba makes
you
more attractive.
For that. I've been screaming for that over the last 2 years.
I love Kemba. I wish he was.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
get out
of
Charlotte.
Yeah, he just needs to get out of Charlotte.
Come here. I want us to get ready, Reggie Jackson.
With Golden State, how will DeMarcus Cousins fit in?
Perfect.
He fit perfect. Him and Draymond pick and roll, that would be scary.
What other team is really running 4-5 pick and roll like that?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That would be
scary.
Or 5-4 pick and roll with Boogie being the ball handler.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Or
you got
Boogie
KD.
He could just stay up top and shoot threes.
That's what I'm saying.
I was talking to my coworkers about this, and I said, look, when Boogie gets back 100%, you know, Steph to me is their most important player because he makes – you can't guard 40 feet. You just can't. He extends that defense so much, right? But when you saw, especially the first versions of the Golden State Warriors when they had Andrew Bogut, what is Andrew Bogut's two biggest like the greatest things he does on the court, right? His
rebound,
best attribute.
Rim protector.
Blade
what
defense.
Else? No. Underrated. No, under – passing. Under it. Go back and watch how many times he does. They give him the ball in the high mid post post.
That's a good point.
And the players are cut off of him. He offered them rub cuts. He drop off passes and stuff like that. They get Boogie in those same actions. The difference is Boogie could hit that 15 to 18 to 3-point shot that Andrew Bogut couldn't hit. So what it does is, and it sounds so crazy, but it actually expands their arsenal because you can run offense through the post. If you saw the tweak that they made, right, especially in the playoffs, who was getting a lot of those post touches? KD.
KD was, yeah.
Right? But now KD and Boogie are interchangeable there. Like, it don't make no sense.
It's scary.
How together that puzzle fits. Mm-hmm.
And he already got a personal relationship with all of them. So, like, mm-hmm. they was cool during the 2016 Olympics. So, mm-hmm. it's like, he gonna fit right in.
Right.
Like,
that Bible right study
in.
Group.
Yeah. He gonna fit right
That's
in.
That's how they
man.
Recruit people. They bring God into
he
it.
He gonna fit right in.
All right, with the Houston Rockets, do they have enough? Or do they have the defense to beat the Golden State Warriors?
They have. No, they have every.
They left two of their guys, Trevor Reason. Uh-huh. What's his name? The funny.
Oh, Lebron Moutet.
Yeah, that was like two. Mbamute. That was some good defensive stretch. Like wing guys,
you,
and you giving that up for Melo?
I feel you. But think about the people that they replaced them with. You still got Clint Capella, which is your rim protector. Mm-hmm. They picked up James Ennis. I
seen him.
From Memphis.
From Memphis, but played in Miami last year. This guy is a bottle rocket. And I'm not saying that he's a Reza on defense, but he can physically compete on the perimeter with these guys. And there's going to be games where he goes for 30. He's just that type of talent. See. You know what I'm saying? And they also picked up another
Michael
guy,
Carter
too.
Chris from the Suns.
Yes, Marquise Chris.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I looked at some of him. I was like, that was a steal.
Look, that's what I'm saying. Houston.
So they're about the same, you think? About the same?
Better.
I think Houston's better this year.
Yes.
Really?
They're deeper. And the question is a little misleading because it says, do they have the best defense or do they have enough defense to beat Golden State? They have enough team to beat Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not just the defense because with Golden State, it don't matter if you got the number one defense, bro. You can't score 115. Yeah,
right.
You lose.
You can't match.
You lose.
Y'all think how long y'all think Melo going to accept coming off the bench?
He might not come.
Wait. Because wasn't I right about that too, Nick? Huh, Mister Disrespectful?
You don't know what the lineup is going to be like because they've started him at the five.
We already said Melo's come off the bench.
Off the bench,
say he's coming off.
Better fit off the bench.
At this point in his career, yes, he is better fit.
I just can't see Melo coming off the bench.
Go get it's buckets against name. Bums.
I think that name is still. I mean, at this point,
it's
in
a
Melo's
superstar
career,
name
know,
still.
No, he's not a superstar though. And I think he closes the games. Just because you come
Yeah, I think he
the,
closes the game, but I don't
close
he's,
the game.
He might not start, but he's going to definitely be
to
out
be
there.
To be honest, I don't think he'll – if he doesn't start, he will not.
I disagree.
So which one do you value more, closing games or starting games?
Just because you don't start don't mean you ain't going to close.
No, but I just think that with the fact that he won't start means that they're looking at – because when you close a game, you either need a mix of defense. You're either leading heavily towards defense or offense, and you have some players
offense.
Who can do both. There's some players who are not going to come off. Harden ain't coming off, and Paul ain't coming off.
Yeah.
Is
Capella ain't coming off?
Depends on the matchup.
He might come off.
Depends on the matchup.
Because they might just put
Sometimes
Tucker.
Sometimes he might.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I
can't see them having
there's only two guys. There's only two guys that will be there 100% of the time.
Of
that's
course.
CP
and
Harden. James Harden.
Yeah.
Capella will be in the closing lineup 85 to 90% of the time. Carmelo, I can see him being in the closing lineup 80% of the time.
Because
there'll be matchups where it's just like, you having a bad game now, bro.
I'll give you that one. If Melo, I'll give you Melo. Is that it for the Rockets?
Mm-hmm.
So with the Pacers, can they validate last year's surprising success?
Yes. Oladipo has come out this year saying last year was no fluke. I've been trying to tell y'all Miles Turner is adding a pull-up three-point shot. Mm. Their problem is just depth and more talent.
Yep.
That's their
all
only
they,
thing.
That's all they got.
But they got a 1-2 punch, and it's going to be serious.
Yeah, I think they'll
validate.
Yeah, they will.
For the Clippers, how actively will they pursue in-season trades?
I think they like what they got right now.
I think they itching. I think they've been scratching so much that they don't want
to
wait till next offseason. Like they want to pull that trigger.
And
quick.
That's also Jerry West's MO. You know what I'm saying? Jerry West will make any type of move if he's getting the guy he wants.
So he's trying to position for who? Leonard?
Butler. And everybody. Here's
but
the
somebody
thing.
He can realistically
yes,
get, though.
If Kawhi, I put it to you like this. If Toronto struggles, Kawhi is gone.
Before trade deadline.
What's the struggle for Toronto? Like, what record?
Sub 500. 500 or under 500.
I said, like,
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like 5 to 7 games under 500.
Kawhi's gone. Yeah. You got to trade him.
You got to trade him.
Because he ain't going to stay.
He's not going to stay. And also, the Clippers have enough guys to financially make it and for Toronto be like, okay, we could either blow it all the way up or we can get guys to come in here to compete and we can still be in the playoff mix. So it just depends what they want
to
do.
How desperate are they to make that in-season trade? Because they got that. They got a young draft pick, too.
The Clippers? I just think that if the opportunity is right. So I don't think they're extremely desperate. I just think that they're waiting for the right moment. Mm.
We'll see. I always say, wait, you could just wait it. Because, I mean, Butler already said he wants to go. Kawhi already said he wants to go. Ain't no, like, just chill out. With the Lakers, how do all these pieces fit around LeBron?
It don't matter. You got LeBron.
Yeah, he'll make it work. Ingram's going to be the guy. Brandon Ingram's going to be that second man, the Kyrie of this team. Mm-hmm. We already talked about Lonzo coming off, you know, in with the second unit for at least half the season.
Coaching's going to be really interesting. I want to see how Luke Walton's going to, throughout the season, handle this. That's going to be really interesting.
I feel like Luke Walton going to play the Jason Garrett role to LeBron, Jerry Jones.
I don't know.
He's going to be clapping on every play.
I think the most interesting thing that I'm looking for is to see what the closing lineup is going to be. Yeah. I think that's the most interesting thing. I think that tells a lot. But I like how they've been playing, though. Like, they're playing up-tempo.
They're going to run you to death. Yep. That's from what I've seen from the Lakers.
Yep.
They're going to run you to death. They're going to run.
Because LeBron, me and LeBron was born in the same year, 84. I'm older than Bron because I was born in April. He's born in December. And I know how I feel at 34. It is amazing to see what this man is doing in his 18th year.
Yeah, but if you had a billion, 16th year. If you had a $1 billion contract with Nike, you feel a lot better.
No, of course. but still, Father Time is undefeated, and for him to play how he's playing, not the fact that he is playing,
yes,
but how he's still above the rim. Let's be honest. I've said it like 2-3 years ago that he lost about a half a step, and it's still only a half a step. Bruh, like I've never seen 16 years in.
He was leaps and bounds better than everybody else. So his half step is somebody's all star.
Oh, of course. No. But also to just to add to LeBron's greatness, it's not like he's been, you know, first round and out. Like, it's every year he's played, playoffs, bro. So the mileage that he has and the fact that he can still play above the rim and play at this pace that the Lakers want to play, come on, man. We've never seen that.
Memphis Grizzlies, can Mike Conley be the Mike Conley of old?
Yeah,
I think so. He's got to be healthy. But I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be the one.
Yep, he's the
guy. Watch out for him.
He's the guy.
Yep. So
remember, I told you I really like what Memphis got going on. I told y'all that early on after the draft.
So, yeah, I think he'll bounce back.
I just hate they let Fizdale go.
Yeah, outside of that.
But I love it.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
This is crazy, yo.
All right, with the Heat, what do they do with Hassan Whiteside?
They're going to try to trade him.
Yeah, he out of there.
They're going to try to trade him.
But that was one of the worst.
Is Butler going to go there?
No.
That fell apart.
Yeah, Thibodeau keeps throwing monkey wrenches.
Well, Butler made another announcement. He's saying that he wants to be traded. He keeps telling the Wolves, you got to get me out of here.
He met with Thibodeau, and he was like, I want to be traded. Is that? No, it's not.
Oh, that would have been a game winner right there.
Yep.
Ooh.
He still got to get one.
He did a sack fly.
Hey, that's all you need because a pass ball.
Yep.
Oh, no. The runner didn't advance from second. So, that's cool. But a base hit and you got a tie game.
Yeah.
Bases were loaded. Outs? Gary Sanchez was up the bat. He had a sack fly to get it 4-3 Yankees.
I think that's like, 2 outs now.
Yeah, it's 2 outs. Kimbrel's been struggling, but Gary Sanchez fought back from an 0-2 deficit for 3-2 and It's down to this, but this whole end has been intense. But anyway.
What's the next squad, Nick?
The Bucks. Mm. How big a difference will new coach Mike?
They might be a surprise.
The new coach will make.
Who's Mike Budenholzer?
Yeah, I know.
Budenholzer?
Yeah, whatever.
Holzer?
I think, and I've always liked Mike Budenholzer. I think he's going to elevate that squad. I just don't think that individually. They're good enough at certain positions. Obviously, Giannis is Giannis.
Giannis is getting to that point where you're kind of questioning his status.
Yep.
Because
this is all that year now, right?
With all that talent that they had, and they're running through coaches at one point, just like when when you're with somebody who always goes through boyfriend, girlfriends mm-hmm. and stuff like that, mm-hmm. at some point you got to point the finger at you and say, right. I'm the problem.
Right.
Because they've had a lot of talent and they have not gotten past the first round.
But you know, prior to making the Eric Bledsoe move and stuff, my main complaint was that they had too many of the same pieces. Mm-hmm. And now this roster is starting to round into shape where you have a definitive 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right?
Because who come off the bench? Steinmaker and who else? Who they got to come off the
oak? Snell?
Dellavedova.
Dellavedova.
Bledsoe.
No, Bledsoe starts. He's a starting
player. He started over – what's his name? The rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Brogdon. Malcolm. Yeah.
Brogdon.
Yeah, he'll start. Yeah,
he starts. I like the way that the roster is built out more. I definitely think, you know, Giannis is at that point where we got to put that pressure on him to perform. And I know me and B, we were maybe two years ago, we were like, oh, this is the next leap.
Yeah.
And he still has not taken that leap that we were talking about. This has to be the year.
But he's worked out with Kobe.
With Kobe offseason.
And have y'all watched their preseason or at least highlights?
Yeah.
The jumper is looking good.
Yeah.
Because I want to say that
off the dribble?
Yes, off the dribble. I want to say that last year he was improved, but you could tell he wasn't confident in it. He didn't He didn't rely on it. This year in preseason so far, what I've seen is that's really part of his arsenal. So if that's the case, the Bucks can make a leap. But yes, it's all on Giannis right now.
Mm-hmm.
With the Timberwolves, can Towns and Wiggins both take a step forward?
Wiggins, no. Towns, yes.
It's over for Wiggins.
Wiggins hit a ceiling,
unfortunately.
It was funny.
He hit a ceiling, but I think he's also been capped by that organization. He didn't get a chance to develop.
It was funny because, remember, I think, what was it, last year they were questioning about giving him that extension, that 100, mm-hmm. that deal. Mm-hmm. I think they were right in their hesitation.
Of course.
Looking, obviously it's 2020 hindsight, but the way things played out, I give you Towns, but yeah, Wiggins, they got to trade him.
See, well, here's the thing. I personally, and this is just if the owner would have hired me as the GM, I wouldn't have traded Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine because it is extremely difficult to find players like Kat. Even Wiggins, I think that Zach could have been the second best player behind Kat on that squad. I think Wiggins is a third or fourth guy on a championship squad. Yeah. And then Chris Dunn still hasn't been able to get into his own. But if he's your fifth best guy, then you have a good problem.
Yes.
You know, so to me, I would have stuck with the youth movement because as you see in the NBA, the more young, talented guys that you can keep together for a longer period of time, as long as they're progressing, that's the way to truly build. So I would have kept the four youngins, and I would have rolled that out.
With the Pelicans, how far can Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday take them?
Just the playoffs.
Yep. First round exit. Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right. Or you got something else?
I'll ask it afterwards.
All right, with the Knicks, can David Fizdale change the culture?
Yes.
I think he already did.
He already did. Yeah. As soon as he signed on the bottom line, gave him mad credibility.
Yep.
With the Thunder, can they flat out make enough shots? That's actually an interesting question.
I think so.
They got Schroeder, Dennis Schroeder.
That's a big pickup. Yeah. Very underrated.
And he's excited about backing up Westbrook. Well,
it's funny because you know why, though? Because he knows he's going to play point guard closing out, and they're going to have both of those guys playing.
Yeah.
Well, also because he knows he's going to at least start for the first few games of the season.
Yeah, because Westbrook,
that injury. But Schroeder, he's not a consistent shooter. And some of their best players aren't consistent shooters. Outside of Paul George, and you can even question Westbrook to a certain extent, who do they really have?
Can you pull up that roster real
quick? Yeah, I know
that they signed some people in the offseason that I want to say is underrated.
Crazy? Like, they let go of Oladipo.
Yeah, but Oladipo wasn't this Oladipo, though.
Nah, he became Oladipo.
I don't think it's because of Billy Donovan, that loan shark as a head coach.
And I don't think Billy Donovan had that much of an impact on Oladipo because Oladipo was struggling even before.
It was Russell Westbrook. It was he got his work ethic from Westbrook.
He said that.
Looking at this roster, name me three guaranteed scores.
All right. Oh, you said score.
Like people who can make their own shot. Yeah, he's a catch and shoot guy. I watch Melo's with the Thunder, Schroeder, so I was watching them all last year.
Get his own shot.
Yep. But they really only have
not like a shooter though. Like
I would say, Jeremy Grant could get his own. He can. I'm not saying. Well, I'm not saying that this guy's like.
I'm talking about like
a lethal scorer.
I'm talking about like a scorer, like a Paul George, like a Westbrook.
The problem with Jeremy Grant is he thinks he can get his own shot.
But like, I'm saying like someone who can create their own shot.
He could probably get his own shot, but Jeremy Grant thinks he's better than he is.
Are we asking 18 point a game guys? Because there's a difference.
No.
Because Lance can get his own shot, but he don't average 18.
Yeah, I'm talking about more of. Can you create your own shot, like to get yours?
Yeah, I
feel like some of the players you mentioned, and they got to be fed a lot.
The only person I mentioned was Jeremy Grant. No, this team is very dependent on playmaking, right? So to answer the question is no, they don't have enough shooting. They don't have enough scorers on this squad, because when you look at it, obviously Russell Westbrook and Paul George are the two main scorers, right? Dennis Schroeder is their next best scorer. Then
Steven Adams has to be offensive, more offensively sound.
He is what he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's an old school center, a bully, rebounder.
He got overhyped a couple of years ago.
He can't get a little hook shot, a little back to the basket game.
He has touch and stuff, but the thing is, that's just not his game. And to ask him to do that, it's not going to be comfortable for the team. It's not going to be comfortable for him. So I'm not a fan of asking people to do too much out of their own comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, now to be great, you got to be out of your comfort zone. But I don't need you to be across the street with it. You know what I'm saying? Right. You can still be on this side of the street and be out of your comfort zone. But I do like the Nerlens Noel pickup.
I do too. I was just telling you that.
Yeah, and you know what? I put it to you like this. I like the way OKC is constructed, mainly because. Their biggest problem was having a drop off when they went to the bench. Mm-hmm. And now they can play the exact same way, regardless if it's the bench guys or the starters on the floor. So I like that for them.
I didn't know he was there either.
Yeah, Lualu.
And we don't really still know what he is yet, because he never really got two-way much
guy.
Of a run.
Yeah, with Philly. Yeah, he's a two-way guy that can hit the shot, you know, dependent, not necessarily a shot creator. But
they had high hopes for him.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll come back and be a little bit better. He had Ferguson moments. He had a moment here or there.
Yeah, he
had
With the Magic, will all this length work together?
Hell no. Nah. As soon as they drafted Bamba, I'm like, okay, so where's Vucevic going? And then Orlando's talking about, oh, we're not trading Vucevic. That's another organization that's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yep.
Not even Purgatory, because they're not even making the playoffs.
They have
one thing to make the playoffs and not do nothing.
To me, I wish Stan Van Gundy would have stayed with that team, because he gave them an identity that they've never had since Shaq.
Oh, you're talking about way back in the
day?
Yeah,
with Dwight. He should have stayed. Because, like, I agree with your saying, because ever since that Dwight Howard era, they don't know. They just draft. It seems like they just draft players as draft players.
Yes.
No game plan.
And also, but that to me is not solely on the head coach. That's also the GM. It's also the organization. Because here's the thing. I love Bamba. And I think he's going to be a problem in this league. But how do you draft him there when the year before you drafted
Jonathan Isaac,
bro? And he's a tweener between 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. You know, so then you're not drafting guys that are solid right now.
Yeah.
You're drafting projects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and I don't mind a project or two, but then who's your solid guy? Because the most solid guy on your roster is Vucevic, and he's going to take up time of those young players that need. So I don't understand the direction. I don't understand the identity. I don't understand where they want to end up. Because now if the owner of the team is saying we're not going to trade Vucevic, then what are you? Where are you going? Vucevic is a damn good center. And I think that he's probably underrated because the numbers are there, but the wins aren't there.
Right.
And the wins aren't, to me, a reflection of his play at all, because he doesn't have anything else. They drafted Mario Hezonja, ain't Jack. You let go. You drafted Oladipo, let him go. Elfrid Payton, I told Ken from day one he was going to be a bust. He
didn't want to believe Tobias me. Harris.
But did they draft him?
No. Did they draft him?
Who drafted Tobias?
I thought they did draft him.
They might have drafted him.
Yeah.
Drafted who?
Tobias Harris. Was he drafted by Orlando?
Detroit. No. Yes. Orlando. No. Wait. Damn. Well,
I think he was a stat guy.
He's been bouncing around a lot. Yeah, I forgot what team he drafted.
So we don't even know.
Yeah.
But,
I think it was Orlando. I think he got traded to Detroit.
Yeah, he got traded to Detroit. But I don't know, man. They just don't have an identity. And until they get a GM a la a Sam Presti or somebody like that that can make the moves that need to be made. Because when I hear the owner saying, oh, we're not trading Vucevic, bro, like you can't get two attacks to these guys.
This is weird. So Tobias Harris started out in Milwaukee. Then he went to Orlando and then went to Detroit.
Now it must have been a draft trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a draft trade.
Yeah.
It was
because I don't think he played.
He was drafted
for Milwaukee.
I've never Charlotte.
Seen. Okay.
And probably traded to Milwaukee, but he played 9 games. He played in Milwaukee.
Oh, wow.
He played
games. I've never seen him in
Nah, me neither. I don't remember that. So this man's been on the move since he's been drafted.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Philly, I'm going to throw this to you, Fee. Mm-hmm. Is Markelle Fultz ready to be a real contributor?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's still coming up the bench, though, right?
No, he's starting.
He's going to start?
Oh, they so started him over JJ Redick.
So JJ, okay. Oh, wow.
Over JJ.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be Vinny Johnson for
explain
the
18. Explain that. One of y'all, explain that to me.
I like it because when you look at what Philly struggled with last year in the playoffs, right, your two best players are by far Joel Embiid and mm-hmm. Ben Simmons. The way that these guys play basketball, they attack the basket, especially Ben Simmons, right? Because he doesn't have anything else to rely on.
Right.
Joel got more moves, got more range right now, so it don't matter. But Joel, at his best, is going toward the basket, right? If you watch how they wanted to attack any defense was those two guys applying pressure, then you kick out, and everybody else is a shooter. Dario Saric can shoot, Covington can shoot, J.J. Redick can shoot. But what happens when you close out on those guys? Right, there's not gonna be a secondary attack to the basket because those guys they need to be fed. I think Dario has more skill set, but he's a guy that you gotta put him in the post, right? Or he's gonna be a catch and shooter. He's not a guy that goes gets his own
he can't
bucket,
get his own. Okay.
Right? So when you put Markel into the starting lineup, Ben and Joel are gonna be the same. They're gonna attack. They're gonna be aggressive. What happens when you pass out to Dario? Then it goes to Robert. Then it comes back to Markel. Markel, if he ain't open, what are you going to do? He's going to re-attack the basket. They didn't have another ball handler to re-attack, right? Because all it was Ben kicking out, and they're looking for perimeter shots. And if they didn't have it, what was the second option? You know what I'm saying? So I think I love the fact that Brett Brown put Markel early, first preseason game, you're the starting two guard because that's a perfect complement to Ben Simmons' mm-hmm. game. The same way Doncic is a perfect complement to Dennis Smith Jr.'s game, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have Markel, to me, he's more of a scorer than Ben Simmons, right?
That's what B said earlier that he did in Washington.
Exactly. Scoring guy. And then you have a 6'10 point guard that just wants the man in the first damn preseason game played 17 minutes, had 14 assists. That's crazy.
That's insane.
So now you're giving him a guy that can not only go get his own, but is going to cut, can hit with the jumper that I've seen. I'm not calling the man a three-point shooter, but can hit threes, mm-hmm. can also extend, obviously not like JJ, but can do it at a certain clip. Like that's a problem. I think that's what they were truly missing in the playoffs last year. And now that you know how, like, sometimes you get addition by subtraction? This is not necessarily addition by subtraction, but this is just addition by what you had, and you just cooking it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah, some leftovers you forgot about.
Yep.
Well, how do y'all – well, random before I go to the next team, how do y'all feel about Elton Brand becoming the GM?
Love it.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah,
I like it.
Good looking out.
Yep.
Yeah, give these young guys a chance. They played in the league. They know how it works.
Exactly. And he played for Philly.
And he was that you could tell he was destined to do like something
of
as a
course.
Player because he always carried himself that
the
way.
The consummate pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The consummate pro.
The Phoenix Suns, what do we make of the youngsters?
Like them. Love them. Because we know what Devin Booker
is.
Shit. If Ayton.
I think he is.
No,
I'm
no,
just saying,
ain't in the truth.
I'm just saying, with big men, I'm always like, I got to see you for like, it's definitely a third. Like, I have to see you for 2-3 years.
You know
you
what
have
it is,
to
Nick?
See Hakeem Olajuwon?
No, I'm you just, didn't
I'm
need
talking
to see
about
Shaq
Patrick Ewing?
I'm just talking about consistency. Because those players you mentioned, those are Hall of Famers, so obviously they were consistent, but there's been hit and miss big men.
Who?
We've seen Dwight.
Hashim Thabeet.
Wait, hold on. How is Dwight Hashim hit or miss?
I'm just saying, like, he was early on in his career when he was in the Orlando's days, he was looking like he's the second coming of Shaq. Yeah, and then he fell off at like soon.
FIFO said, he hit his ceiling very quick.
Yeah. And the thing is that it's only him and Wilt Chamberlain to average double doubles through the first 14 years of a career.
Yep.
That is impressive.
Yeah, he wasn't whack.
Exactly. Right. The only thing is that he didn't progress, right? Because again,
once he left Orlando, to me, it was just like,
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't expand his game, right? Nope. And he also didn't want to accept what he is.
Right.
And that's more of an internal problem than anything else. I don't think he's ever been whack. It's just that we need to accept Dwight for what he is. Mm-hmm. He's a defensive first center.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all he is.
Yeah.
Everybody put these expectations on him to be the next Shaq. But
just different guys. Different guys.
With the Blazers, will they trade Lillard or McCollum?
McCollum.
I think they'll trade Lillard.
Because Lillard kind of made some sub comments about the front office and stuff. So yeah. I can definitely
I was thinking I would get rid of McCollum over Lillard.
Well, I would think he'll give you more back than McCollum.
Yeah. Yeah, he will.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's why I would
trade. And McCollum already said, obviously, on his podcast, he was like, I ain't trying to do this super team stuff. Lillard's like, I'm just trying to win.
He's saying that now.
Right. Right. Right.
McCollum has a shelf life anyway.
Yeah, he does.
With the Kings, is something brewing with this young movement?
Yes.
Did you see Harry Giles?
No.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Bro.
I knew about him before the injury because the injury was really gruesome.
That's why he didn't play last year.
Yeah. Yep.
But man. If you look at this young team, they got Fox, Bagley, Giles, all who are under 21.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Bro. Giles balling, man.
I mean, they're going to lose a lot of games, but that's a nice little young group of guys.
And they can move some pieces.
Because here's the thing. As much as I love him, I ain't paying Willie Cauley.
No.
Yeah. So I like him too. He's the first one up out of there.
Remember that one? Remember that Kentucky team that lost to West Virginia?
Yeah, John Wall. DeMarcus Cousins.
Who was that other center behind Cousins that got drafted dumb high? And it was like
Patrick Peterson?
No, it was like Orton or something like that.
Oh,
Daniel Orton.
I remember him.
Cauley Stein is that team.
Cauley Stein can play.
He only looked good with the squad. He didn't look good by himself.
Cauley Stein can play, bro.
I'm telling you, I don't think so.
He fills the stat sheet.
For the pick that they got him.
Daniel Orton could not play in the NBA. He couldn't jump. He couldn't do anything. He never got a shot.
And Willie was a late lottery pick. You know what I'm saying? So and for what he is, he's great. Could guard all five positions, rim protector, great teammate in a sense that you can count on him on the court. Not a scorer, you know, like a Clint Capella, you know, rim protector type of big. You know what I'm saying? But that can play perimeter D. But he's up for a renew. And what they have going on in the youth movement over there, I would not pay.
But he was a top 10 pick. You're talking about not re-signing him at all.
There's a lot of top 10 picks that don't turn amount to much.
Exactly. And the only reason why I say I wouldn't pay him is because you got four other guys. Right, that eventually you're going to have to pay. And if you pay Willie now, you're not going to be able to move him.
And if Giles can give you what Willie gives you already, then
for a cheaper price. Yeah, exactly. Because I put it to you like this. I have not seen Giles, but that boy Marvin Bagley, though.
Hey.
You know what?
And that's the other reason you can get rid of Willie. Exactly.
And here's the thing with Bagley. I knew he was going to be good. But I didn't know he had this much in the bag already. And it's a problem.
With the Spurs, can they hold up on the perimeter? Now, this came out before that
point
injury.
Point guard, yeah.
With Murray. It's not even.
Yeah.
What happened with DeJounte? I didn't see it.
Yeah, ACL. Yeah.
That's what I thought, too.
I've been waiting all year, bro.
Me too.
I wanted to see.
I wanted this to be his breakout
forget
year.
Forget DeRozan. I just wanted to see what can this kid do.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know what's crazy? I've been telling everybody I talked to. I didn't even know that this happened. Man, where the hell I been?
Yeah.
But I've been telling everybody.
LeBron even posted about it.
That DeJounte, like, this Spurs team was going to go as far as DeJounte progressed, because we know what they are. We know what they are with Pop, and we know that DeMar just came in to replace Kawhi, which offensively he was going to do. Defensively, they take a little step down. But DeJounte's progression, especially now with no Tony Parker there anymore, it's literally his squad.
Man,
no
if Manu. Greg Pop coached this team to a 5-6 seed in the playoffs, man.
Come on, man. But you know that this was going to happen. You know that.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. But this, they said that, well, they were saying that, you know, this Lonnie Walker kid was going to be, you know, the guy, but he tore his meniscus, so he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. But what this injury does is that now we know Murray's gone for the year, so when Walker gets back, that'll give him a chance to play if Pop put him out there. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's the kid from Miami.
With the Raptors, how long would it take Kawhi to get to his old form?
He there now. I don't know if y'all seen.
I saw some preseason stuff, and he did some stuff.
He scored like 12 and 19 points in 19 minutes.
He looked like he's about back.
And I play, man.
Yeah. And you know, this has always been my gripe. Has it been the system, or can he get his own? And in two preseason games, he can get his own. I ain't got nothing else to talk about Kawhi. That man, he the man.
With the Jazz, can they avoid individual regression?
I think there will be some regression. But I don't think
they're
going to
still be a playoff team.
Yeah.
They're going to still be a playoff
I think
team.
Nobody's going to question Mitchell. I think it's more like Rubio and Gobert.
Gobert is Gobert. Since the beginning.
Yeah.
Rubio, the only thing with him is, bro, can you hit a consistent jumper?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Unless Joe Ingles a fluke.
Nah, he's not.
he's a white boy. At least they could do a shoot.
But
he does a lot of good things, though.
Yes, he's their tough guy.
Yeah,
if you look at it, he's the one that's talking crap to the guys on the perimeter. He got all up in Melo.
He's scrappy. Yep. Yeah, he's
scrappy. No, I was going to say he got in George's face, too.
That too. Him, too. Both.
He can play the game. Yeah. He can play the game.
Now, I'm not worried about Joe Ingles.
He fools you. He got that YMCA.
He do.
I think the person that this question most pertains to is Dante Exum. I seen him in the offseason working on his game.
Yeah, I've always liked top 10 pick too.
I've always liked them. I don't because he's been in the league and obviously he's been hurt, but you can still work on your jumper when you hurt. The fact that his jumper isn't coming along, I don't know. And I think that he's probably going to be a piece that's moved before he gets paid.
Yeah, he needs a new situation.
Yeah. And I like him, but I
don't think it's it.
Nah.
Yeah.
With the Wizards, can John Wall find the right balance?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
That's let me. Here's the thing about the Wizards. You know, I think it's
It's still him and Beal and
Dwight Howard.
Dwight.
It's
gonna be fun.
Dwight around your lips. That Dwight
Howard. Dwight around your lips.
I think what plagues Washington is the same thing that plagues Portland. Doesn't matter how good your point guard is, doesn't matter how good your two guard is.
You're reaching for a third option?
Not really a third option.
The first option.
Yeah.
Because Bradley Beal, to me, is the second option. And John Wall, when you're a pure point guard, you're really not a true first option all the time because you're a true point guard. You're the first options at times. You know what I'm saying? And you could be the fourth or fifth option at times because he's a true point guard. They need a perimeter guy, and they've already paid Otto Porter. Otto Porter's a catch-and-shoot guy.
You're right.
They need a get-your-own-bucket guy, and that's the problem. When you have a one-man, even if he's Dame Lillard, he could go get you 30-40, right? And
CJ, they don't got a 6'7", 6'8", 6'9
exactly, because when you look at the best players in the NBA right now that are winning championships, you got to stop a LeBron, you got to stop a KD.
Right. You need someone that can
compete with those guys.
Yeah.
And they don't have that. Otto Porter, as much as I like him, he's top 5 in three-point shooting percentage, can't go get his own bucket, can't create for others. That's a problem. In this NBA, it doesn't matter what else you got. You need a guy between the sizes of 6'7 to 6'10 that can go do a whole bunch of things on that basketball court. And if you don't, guess what? You're truly not competing for a championship.
All right, that was the last team. Any hot takes before the season starts? Or expectations?
I still don't believe Kyrie.
What do you mean?
Hey, cut that man mic off. It's, the show's over.
What do you mean about him resigning?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
He said I plan on resigning, right?
He said it would be foolish for me not to. or something like that. Yeah. Like with the squad that they have, like where else would I go?
I applaud what he's trying to do.
Right. I think he's just trying to say the right thing before the season. Before the season starts, he just want to say the right thing.
So
I think I think if the opportunity really present himself, I think he would leave Boston.
Look how he talked about LeBron when he got there and like early on. He was talking about LeBron like, we gonna be here together. This is my role, dog. I've been waiting for a guy like him. And then what happened?
But then there was some other reports saying that he was kind of uncomfortable with LeBron coming back.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as what he said vocally,
he tried to
dispel that. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden he on ESPN First Take talking about some I don't got to answer nobody.
So that's why I'm a little, you know, kind of iffy. You know, I'm not like 100% believing he's going
to
stay in Boston, but I just think
I think
he will, but I just think if an opportunity or if a situation presents itself, I think he'll leave.
And to me, with him,
it depends on how far they go. If they like in the finals,
they're gonna make the finals, man.
Yeah, if they get to the finals and they like, you know, competitively lose, I think Kyrie be like, oh, I gotta come back and finish this thing. But if they like disappointment and
if they get like upset in the second round or something,
Eastern Conference. If they make it to Eastern Conference Finals again, and say they lose in five games.
I can't even say that because
I'm just giving us a scenario.
They went to the finals with the Cavs and he left.
I'm just giving you a scenario where if I can see Kyrie leaving.
He just wanted to beat LeBron leaving.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But if they lose in the East Conference Finals five games to the Sixers or something like that, he's gone.
Honestly, I don't know what's important to Kyrie anymore. I'm just being 100. Because in terms of winning basketball, there's not a better situation he can go to.
Right, it's not.
Let's be honest.
Even New York, maybe it depends on who they're bringing.
I put it to you like this. The reason why there's only one reason why Kyrie stays, Brad Stevens. That's the only reason why. I don't think it's the championships. I don't think it's him getting his banner or his jersey retired in the rafters. I don't think he cares about all that stuff. I think he cares.
Legacy.
He cares about legacy. Oh. I think he does care about championships. I think he does care about getting his jersey retired.
Well, I mean, in those rafters, I think Kyrie is focused on, for some reason, he needs everything to be like, catered to him as far as like how he wants to write. He wants to write his own legacy. He don't want nobody else to write it for him. He don't want to have to say like, oh, you went to a Boston Celtic. That's the greatest, you know, one of the greatest teams of all time. You were with a great head coach.
Can you imagine his legacy over there with Fizdale and bringing a championship to
New
York?
If he brings a championship to New York.
Haven't been had a championship since 73.
He can retire off of that and they'll build a statue the next day.
Yes, they will. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying,
it means way more than winning in Boston.
Yeah, it does.
His jersey will retire as soon as the confetti drops.
If he won a championship in Boston, if you had a choice to win a championship in New York or in Boston, I think winning a championship in New York, especially the drop that they had, a big market city like that. Oh yeah. Yeah, that would cement him. That's like LeBron bringing the championship to Cleveland.
I think it's bigger than that.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's similar. Like, yeah, you know, I agree. With LeBron bringing the championship
to Cleveland.
But I'm saying,
like, the magnitude of LeBron.
Trying to hate.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, I'm just saying, like, the magnitude of LeBron bringing the championship to Cleveland was big. But, like, to New York?
Why would it be bigger, though? Because it's the Mecca. But they got championships, though.
Not
Cleveland didn't.
Yeah. He's just trying to hate. Yeah. Let him get it off.
I'm just saying. It's different. If you can make it in New York,
New York had parades. Cleveland didn't have no parades. New York had parades. They had Yankees, Rangers, and stuff. Like they had parades.
The Yankees just lost. They ain't doing it.
I'm just talking about you know, Yankees won like five World Series and like what?
I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying the
Knicks. They got parades.
Hey, we've been starving.
Here's the thing, though. I think that Boston has an opportunity to become a dynasty. And I think
with all the draft picks and stuff. Yeah.
I think with or without Kyrie, they can be a dynasty.
Can you pull up the MacBook one more game and tell us how many draft picks Boston has in this first round this year? I think that if Kyrie stays, I think it's primarily because of Brad Stevens. Because I think that somebody that is I think Kyrie can be misunderstood sometimes, right? How to utilize him, how to get the leadership out of him, how to really maximize his talent level, because he's an ISO player, right? And that doesn't always fit the greatest into a team scheme. And I think that he values Brad Stevens to that degree. Because let's be honest, Brad Stevens is retiring a Boston Celtic. He ain't win no championships yet. I'm on the record of saying it now. I don't think that man coaches another team. I think he stays with Boston. And I think Kyrie knows that. I think possibly what you guys are saying, it's bigger to win a championship in New York than it is in Boston because obviously it's been such a drought. Mm-hmm. However, I think that Boston, what they have going on, personally, I'm not saying that they will be Golden State, but I think they have the only squad in the NBA on the east side. I think Houston can beat them. But on the east side to even contend with Golden State. Mm-hmm. And I think they it goes down to game seven. Give me Kyrie out of everybody that's on the court. Give me Kyrie. I don't care. You got KD, Klay,
over KD?
But all them. Give me Kyrie.
No, Celtics not KD. Coming out the east.
Give me Kyrie.
You got Philly?
You tripping.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna. That's why I was gonna ask you. I was like, that's my you've been talking about Foles. You don't think Philly, like, if he really hits it the way you think, you don't think that puts him over the edge as far as Boston?
I think right now, Boston just has more.
Well, to me, it's like Boston can be, it could be gluttony what they have over there because it could be they have too many mouths to feed.
Nah. You, I put it
Stevens
to you,
does a good job of taking care of that.
If it was any other coach, you'd have a point.
And I've hated on Steve. I won't say I've hated on him. I just wanted. I was like you. I just
non-believer.
Yeah.
But you a believer now? Brad Stevens is that guy.
No, yeah, he's yeah. He can do his thing. If he get once he gets, I think he's just a chip away from people to really say how they really feel about him.
They have four potential picks: the Kings, the 76ers first round pick. The Clippers' first round pick, the Grizzlies' first round pick, and then their own pick.
So
that's easily like top three picks.
So Sacramento's pick is what? Because I know it's protected. What does it say?
Celtics received the more favorable pick, protected for number one overall. What was Sacramento
thinking?
Look, man, look.
So Sacramento has to get a number one overall pick to keep it.
Basically.
Okay,
and so they're
they're idiots.
So let's say Boston gets the number two pick of this draft. Oh my god! So you mean to tell me you can add Zion or Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett, depending on you know, like
or they could do something else. They can trade that for somebody else's best player, and like say forget trying to see what he can be. Let's get somebody young.
Or hey, Boogie. We seen you. You came back with Golden State. How about you win a championship in the East?
Or hey, AD.
Or AD.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I think that's the only way I see KD staying. If they truly had the conversation, like it was rumored, that Kyrie and Anthony Davis talked about playing in Boston, I could see him staying there. I could see him staying in Boston there. But that means they're going to have to get rid of some pieces to get rid of.
But just like how we said in the text thread, everybody's available except for Kyrie and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I give you all four of them picks.
With that Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Pick, man.
You want Jalen? Yep. I send that man on the first flight out of Boston.
I don't like Jalen, though.
I love him, too. But you like him more than AD? Man.
Hell no.
I'm just saying
it's like trying to give away one of your kids. It's hard. But you see,
Jalen about to turn into Andrew Wiggins.
All right.
Here's the thing.
He's got
though.
A better head on his shoulders.
No, he does.
His growth is going to be capped because of that team.
Well, no. Not even because of that team. Not even. It's capped because of him. Let's be honest. Jaylen Brown.
He's been balling preseason.
He's a baller.
He always does that.
He is a fringe all-star player. He is not a superstar. He don't have no superstar written on him. He has all defensive first team written all over him. He's a piece, but he's not the guy. Jason Tatum is the guy.
I forgot what player you talk about as far as that Paul George, Kawhi Leonard mold, where you say they started off late, but you talked about Ingram that way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brandon Ingram.
You don't see the same thing with Jaylen Brown?
No.
I don't.
No.
Are you serious?
I think he has a smaller ceiling than those guys. I think those guys had potential to be superstars. I don't think Jaylen Brown is a superstar. But I put it to you like this. Jaylen Brown is the type of guy that Portland needs. Jaylen Brown is better than Otto Porter. Jaylen Brown is that guy that those teams with superb backcourts but don't have that other wing player.
You might be onto something.
That's the guy.
Jaylen Brown on the Blazers or in Washington?
That's a problem. See, and again, I don't think
he can flourish.
Exactly. Yep. And I don't think that he is offensively as talented as Paul George or some of these other guys that are in the league. But he is good enough at getting his own shot and physically competing with those guys that these teams that I'm mentioning don't have a guy like that. Like, he's way better than Al-Farouq Aminu. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So Jaylen Brown is the type of player, if you're already paying two, maybe three other guys, that you want. Because that's the type of guy that you need to have to compete against the Bronze of the world, the KDs of the world. And again, no one person can shut any of those guys down. But you need guys that can slow them down, give them a different look, body them up, have enough length and athleticism.
Take them to the contest. Line. Yeah.
Exactly. Put them in foul trouble. Put them in situations where do I foul? Do I let this man get the layup? Or do I let him get the – he's that type of guy. So fringe all-star.
All right, last thing, and then we get out of here. I think somebody sent this in a text.
I think to Kevin Durant. Yeah,
shout out to Kyle. Said Kevin Durant, the Warriors reporter, Marcus Thompson, who's plugged in.
Oh, they're saying he going to the Knicks?
Said this is last year. That
I've been telling y'all.
He's out.
I'm telling y'all.
And I think it's a possibility. Based
especially
on what
they win. I mean, especially going into his third
and
ring.
And what he said before about how he was going to be transparent, I thought that was just the media trying to find something to talk about. Mm-hmm. But now that
and
plus
he's always liked Porzingis. He's always liked Porzingis. Yeah, he gave him the nickname.
The unicorn.
Yeah.
So,
and
we'll
Fizdale,
see.
Everybody loves
now,
Fizdale.
That's what I'm saying.
That's going to linger the whole season.
Yep.
Could that derail this season?
No. Golden State,
they're not repeating unless they all hit eight. No, they're not. My other hot take.
So hold on, do they come out the West?
No, they're not coming out.
So they losing to Houston.
Them? Y'all already know my pick.
Houston.
You bet not.
Lakers.
You bet not.
He's going to say the Lakers.
Who else?
Houston?
I'm sure not saying the Rockets.
Who?
Lakers.
Okay.
Lakers. Oh, my God.
Show over. Thank you, guys. Right. We'll be back.
I got to get up early.
You know what I'm saying? He needs his medicine. It's just a wrap. But, we catch y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.